Yeah, I like this shirt. It brings back a lot of memories. Before we get into the message, I want to ask a question and see what kind of response we get. You can use the chat feature. I hope you'll be doing this. Some of you go to the full screen, but the chat gives us a chance to interact with each other. So here's a way to use it today. According to the worldwide group UNESCO, how many students across the world are stuck at home right now due to school closures? So here are your three choices. Number one, 50%. Number two, 75%. Number three, 90%. So how many students across the world are out of school right now? You know, we're going to look at this in a minute, but people respond differently to things like the stay-at-home orders that we've had. Introverts, many introverts really like it. It gives them an excuse to not be socially connected to people, and it puts wind in their sails being alone to be able to read and to work on crafts and things like that. But extroverts, it drives them up a wall. They can't get enough connection. In fact, they're constantly on Zoom and trying to get you to join them. I mean, we just handle these things differently. Let me go back to this question, though. What percentage of students across the globe are out of school right now? And the answer, it's 90%. So if you're thinking you're alone, as a student you're alone, or families, if you think you're one of the, it's just a handful of places this is happening, believe it, we have it all in common. Becky and I found a movie clip the other day that I thought would be a helpful thing to kind of picture the difference in how people respond to being closed off, or in our case, stay at home. In this movie, it's called Blast from the Past. And what you have is a family that accidentally believed that there was an atomic bomb that had gone off. So they've quarantined themselves for 35 years in a bomb shelter. They now have a chance to get out and to see what's happened in the world. And I want you to watch how they respond differently. And it's a real picture, I think, of what's going on in our homes and our communities around us.
You get the presents, I'll get the lights.
Happy birthday to you and many more.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you, Dad.
Blow out the candles.
Make a wish.
Oh, boy, a jacket.
Your mom made that all by herself.
No kidding.
No kidding. Who else would have done it?
I made these.
Holy cow. What the heck are these?
It's your roller skates. Yep. I redesigned them.
These are really swell. I mean swell.
Well, what did you wish for, son?
If he tells him, we'll come true.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. My family never believed that.
Well, we did. My family.
I wish that I could meet a girl.
Wow, wow. Nice one.
Yes, ma'am.
One who doesn't glow in the dark, I hope.
Calvin Weber, what a thing to say.
Well, we'll be going up in 2 years. We'll know then. I'm very hopeful.
Me too.
Elbow, son.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. What the heck am I thinking tonight?
You never know. You might someday dine at the White House with the president.
We still have one.
You know, when we do go up, I'm gonna miss this place. How about you, Mom?
Would you please excuse me? No, don't get up.
When we are in unsettled and difficult circumstances, it makes the differences in our personalities and our perspectives stand out strongly, and it can create conflict. And let's just be honest about it. Conflict is normal. Whenever you get two people together for any length of time, you're going to have differences. You're going to have things that come up. There can be disagreements, say, with coworkers on how to make decisions and what the priorities should be. At home, they're going to have upset family members that might feel like maybe they've been disrespected or haven't been understood. It's easy in our neighborhoods to get frustrated with neighbors, the way they do or don't do things, and it impacts us, or at least it becomes an opportunity for us to get frustrated. All things can and will happen in our relationships because none of us are perfect. We got our own failings and our own faults, and when you put broken people with each other, things are just going to happen. This is normal. How we handle it, though, is what really matters. We're faced with choices. Are we going to handle these things in a healthy, good way? Or are we just going to let our emotions take over? You know, God created us and He understands how we best operate. And so as we look to the Bible for guidance, we find that our manufacturer really knows what's best. He has prepared us, He's equipped us so we can handle things well. And if we're careful with this, and if we really pay attention, these times of added pressure, say with our stay-at-home orders, can actually be times where we look back on them and we're grateful for what's happened rather than just so glad it's over. There's a fact that I want to keep in mind. I want you to be thinking about this too. We can virtually kill any relationship, any community connection, by following a few guidelines, or if you want to look at it this way, ignoring a few guidelines. I'm not advocating that we mess up our relationships, but I'm going to tell you there's some things, if you and I aren't careful, we can go to what seems natural and we can create all kind of problems. The main thing to ignore, the main thing for you and I to keep out of our mind when it comes to relationships, if we're not willing to make them better, the main thing to keep in mind is just to ignore Jesus' key teaching about relationships. This is what He said. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Now, when He says law and prophets, what He means is all the teaching of the Bible when it comes to relating to each other. And the simple statement, so in everything, it means in everything. When you and I approach others, whether it's an individual or a group, whether it's family, work, neighbors, school, it's saying that we can make a huge difference in how things go by treating them the way we want to be treated. Not treating them the way we think they deserve, not giving them what they've given us, but treating them the way we would hope they would treat us. Here's a couple of examples. Do you want others to respect you? If that's the case, then take initiative to show respect to them. You start off doing that. Do you want others to try to understand you? Do you want them to pursue your point of view and at least get where you're coming from? Then you take the first step in pursuing getting to know them and their point of view. Do you want others to extend to you grace and forgiveness when you blow it? Well, my guess is the answer is true. And if that is, then start offering grace and forgiveness to others before they do anything to you. You see, this thing that Jesus has said is He's saying, take what you and I intrinsically know that we would like and what we think is important, and then take the initiative in offering the people around us. This is this fits in every context for you and me. And it's a matter of finding out what Jesus has said, praying, asking Him to give us the courage and the strength and the capacity to do it, and then following through. But if you don't want healthy relationships, if you don't want resilient friendships, if you don't want to, as the years go on, have friendships that have the potential to be sweeter and nicer and better, if you really like drama and pain, if you like brokenness and loneliness, if you want to hurt and to be hurt, over and over again with no real relief, if you want to create problems rather than search for solutions to conflict, then ignore Jesus' teaching at all cost. Blank it out of your mind, pretend it doesn't exist, and stay away from it. Because I'm going to tell you, if you grab hold of Jesus and listen to what he says about relationships, it can change everything. So I want to take some time in the rest of my message and look at the opposite of what Jesus taught. I want us to look at those things that create all kind of problems and drama and conflict. And when problems, which they inevitably will, when they come up, instead of facing them and relying on God in the process and helping us to choose better, let's pick one of these. And I'm going to give you an example. Let me pull over my new friend. This is just recently I acquired this, and I really like it. We're becoming really good friends. The other whiteboard was starting to fall apart. And I want to thank Becky, too. Becky is the artist in residence, not me. And she's done a great job. So let's just look at some of these different approaches you and I can adopt. They come kind of natural to us. I'm sure you're going to recognize your own here. But ways that we deal with conflict when it comes up. The first is the fighter. The fighter can't wait. They get defensive, lash out at others whenever there's a perceived wrong. They're unwilling to accept any kind of challenge or disappointment. They use their power to attack others and get them to back away rather than directing their power in a way that can maybe address the problem and create health. The last thing you want to do is address. If you want problems, don't attack the problem, attack people. Here's another one. This is the one that runs away. Instead of fighting, they flee. Conflict comes up, and rather than address it, rather than try to figure out, so what can I do? I'm going to run away. I'm going to either do it physically, or I may just escape mentally or emotionally or some other way. Either way, I am not going to address it. I'm out of here. One of the concerns, and we're seeing this over and over again among experts, is that when the coronavirus shut down and lockdown and all this has moved away, that there's going to be a rash of divorces. We're already seeing this in China. China is ahead of us by several months, and they're seeing a dramatic increase in divorces where people have just said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to deal with it. Another way to deal with it is to fold. Just give up, give in. You want to avoid conflict at all costs. So the folder just says, that's it. I'm tapped out. And it can look very patient. Folding can look like someone that's handling it well, but the truth is it's passive and it's weak. Not speaking up when you should to address a problem can keep a semblance of peace, but there's a huge price to it. It's allowing whatever has caused the conflict to continue to grow and develop and hurt others. And the folder just has no backbone and is unwilling to address anything. Here's another one. The fumer. Steam out the ears, just furious. But it's a silent kind of stewing. The fumer doesn't say anything to address the problem, but what they do is internally rehearse over and over again wrongs and collect more of them. They like to gossip. They'll talk to others that aren't part of the solution, but others that'll take their side and add more fuel to the fire. It's the kind of thing that's so destructive individually, it could create all kind of health and emotional problems. And eventually, sometimes these people, the fumers, end up snapping and become fighters, and they become attackers. And it also leads to unhealthy coping ways to deal with what's going on internally. So now I'm going to have to find something to try to take away some of the pain and the pressure. And then the last one here is the one that fakes it. The fake it, these are people that just pretend that everything's good regardless of the facts. They're ignoring what's going on because it plays into this fantasy that they want to have that everything's okay. The fakers often create an environment that makes others feel like they're crazy because the faker can smile and do a thumbs up when others around realize, boy, something is wrong. Something's desperately wrong here. An example of this that I'm aware of is a family whose the father was a raging alcoholic. He was abusive to his wife. He was absent many times. He put the family in all kind of financial peril, and he would be gone on binges for the long time, come home, be angry, abusive, and leave again, all in a drunken rage. And his daughters framed it this way: well, daddy's away on business. When they would talk to other people, daddy's been away on business. They would never address the real problem. They were living in this fake kind of la-la land world. Next week, as we look at these five things, and there are nuances to all of them, next week, Becky's going to tell you the story. We call it the avocado incident. And it's about how we approach these things and how we could handle it much better and what it does for us when we do. What I'd like to do now is I want to switch gears, and I want you to see a clip from a movie that is one of our family favorites called What About Bob? And in this, you have a picture of a family and how they're handling something. And there's two people I really want you to focus on. Bob is a quirky guy that has got some pretty serious emotional and relational problems. Played by Bill Murray, he's really funny. He's not a bad guy. He's just trying to figure out how to make life work. He has shown up at the family vacation. Leo is his psychiatrist. He has shown up there uninvited, and it's created some difficulty for the family who are hoping to have a vacation. Leo doesn't handle this well at all. He is furious. He's just sick and tired of Bob, doesn't care two bits about Bob at all, just wants him out of there. Obviously, he's not listening to the kind of counseling he gives people regularly. But what I want you to notice is how the family deal with the exact same circumstance. Bob has shown up, how he's there uninvited, how they deal with Bob and his quirkiness. And I want you to look at both Leo and his wife, Faye. And when we get back, we're going to take just a moment and look at this, because there's some real pictures here that can help us. Let's watch.
Can we have Bob over for dinner?
Dinner?
Yeah.
I don't want Bob for dinner, Faye.
Leo, it's for the kids.
I don't want Bob for dinner, Faye. I want to think about my interview tomorrow.
I'm sorry, Leo. Right is right.
Oh. So scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
Mm-hmm. Would you like some more chicken, Bob?
Mmm. Leo, do you want the breast?
No, that's fine. Eat up.
Great biscuits, huh, Bob?
Mmm. Yeah, great biscuits, great corn, great potatoes.
You want some more salad, Bob?
Yeah, I think I do. Pile it high and deep, will you, please? Could you get that tomato off there, please?
So here's the thing. Leo is angry, and he doesn't hide it at all. He tries to a little bit with a, an uncomfortable smile, but he is really angry. Bob is clueless. Bob doesn't know he's causing any problems. He's so glad to be there, and he's just kind of a lovable, quirky guy. But here's the thing about Faye. Faye initially looks, throughout the movie, she looks kind of like she might be kind of a fold person or just kind of go along to get along. But the thing about Faye is that she is gentle, but she is strong. She tells the truth. She calls Leo. She's not put off by his anger. She calls him to something else. She is exhibiting this thing of living with truth and grace and strength. And this is really the picture of what you and I could offer in our family, our workplace, our school, our neighborhood. And if we do that, what happens is we can actually be change agents where we are. It's not a matter of what our natural personality is. It's a matter of what we choose to adopt. Remember what Jesus said. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Treat them with truth. Treat them with grace. Treat them with kindness. Don't pretend things aren't what they are. But don't lash out at people. Don't attack people. But do attack the problem. Bring everything you have to address it. Because at the end of the day, we want to help each other be the best we can be. However, if that's not what you want, if you really want your relationships to be bad, if you want to help make them worse, if you don't want to be part of the solution, but you want to be a part of the problem, I'm going to mention just a handful more things. And as we go through the rest of this series, we're going to be addressing the positive end, but I want to give you a few negatives here because I think it's important. If you don't want relationships at home and at work and in your neighborhood to be better, definitely this. Make up your mind before you have all the facts. Ignore last week's message entirely. Make up your mind about people and their intentions and their motives. Remember Jesus said to treat others the way we want to be treated? Well, don't do that. Because you do that, you might bring healing and you might bring help. No, make up your mind beforehand. Draw conclusions before you have all the facts. Don't explore situations. Now, if you want to make things worse, jump to conclusions, accuse others, and alienate them as quickly as possible. That's going to create drama. That's going to make things so much worse. And always assume the worst of people rather than the best. This is one of those things that it's so easy. When I'm upset and I'm hurt, I can immediately gravitate to, oh, I know exactly why they did that. I know what's going on. This is part of the avocado incident we're going to tell you about next week. Now, obviously, I'm not advocating these. I'm just saying that if you want to make relationships worse, make up your mind before getting all the facts and always believe the worst of other people. That happens so many times, and it is so detrimental. I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek, of course, but I hope you get it. Another thing is, by all means, talk to others about the problem. Others that aren't part of the solution. Find some people that will always take your side and tell them what's going on and only give them the part of the story that makes you look like a victim or like you're the one that's been wronged. Make sure that they take your side no matter what. And they're not people that would ever challenge you to rethink or to step back and regroup. And if you don't have any people like that, go to social media. Vent everything you can. It'll make you feel so much better. Unfortunately, what it'll do is make the problem so, so much worse. The Bible calls this gossip. Gossip is when I involve other people that aren't part of helping bring a solution to the problem. And we're good at this. I had an incident that happened a few years back. It was someone that worked at New Hope, and I had communicated with them about something and in the process had really hurt their feelings. They felt disrespected, and they felt like I had not really cared about them. I didn't know anything about it until I got a call one day, and they asked if they could meet with me. And I said, sure, we met, and I was stunned. I had no idea I had done something wrong, but I had. And what I love about this is this person, their feelings have been really hurt. They were frustrated. They were angry. But instead of just going to random people or a select group of people that would take their side, This person went to her husband, who also was a friend of mine and knew me well, and he encouraged her strongly to come and approach me. It took a lot of courage for her to do it. But to this day, I am so grateful that instead of going some other route, she came to me. And as a result, we talked it through. I was wrong, and I needed to own it. And when I did, you could just see the anger and the hurt and all that kind of melt away. And it strengthened our friendship. Gossip never does that. But learning how to attack a problem without attacking a person and how to approach them, and again, we'll be looking at more of this next week, it is a huge, huge benefit, and it will pay off in the long run. One other thing too, keep this in mind too, is only admit your own fault when you can add a but to it. You can say, well, you know, I really did lose my temper, but you made me so mad I couldn't help it. Or, you know, I was wrong when I did that, but you were a lot more wrong when you did this. That negates any credit you might get for apologies. Also, just a couple of more things to keep in mind if you're trying to mess up your friendships or make them worse. Keep a detailed list of perceived faults and wrongs against you. Just keep a notebook with you or get an Evernote account or do something where you can constantly list the things others do that are hurtful to you, disappoint you, disrespect you. And the closer we're in contact with each other on a regular basis, the more fuel we have for this. And again, Jesus' instructions really fly in the face of this because he says to treat others the way you want to be treated. None of us like someone constantly looking to catch us doing wrong. So if you want to build good relationships, don't do that. Learn to address, learn to forgive. But if you want your relationships to be drama-filled and screwed up, keep that detailed list and constantly bring it out. And make sure to never offer grace and forgiveness. Boy, grace and forgiveness can change the dynamic and change an atmosphere. If you want things messed up, do not do that. Definitely stay away from grace, stay away from forgiveness, stay away from kindness of any kind. Okay, so here's my prayer. As I've been thinking through this and thinking about my family and our families and how we walk through this, what I am praying for and I'm asking is that each of us would humbly consider what we've heard today. You can go online and get a take-home sheet by using our app or going to our website and look through the notes. Think about what Jesus said. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Talk about this with your family. In the take-home sheet, there's a list of passages that help us see what really can build good, strong, healthy relationships. Pick one thing that you can adopt that you could change and see about implementing that this week in your different circles of relationships. Another thing you can do is take the take-home sheet and over a meal or over a Zoom conference, talk to a couple people you know, maybe in your small group, and just say, what are we learning from you? What does this really mean? What is my style that may be interfering with really building good, healthy relationships at home and work in my neighborhood and school? Next week, we're going to look at this idea of blaming others, adopting a victim mentality, and how it prevents us from really building the kind of relationships that God intended. And with his help, how we can bypass that and do something really good and strong. I've asked Wendy Hunt. Wendy is the leader for a ministry at our church for middle and high school students called The Landing. And I've asked Wendy if she would pray for us as we close out this message. Wendy?
Hi, New Hope. My name's Wendy Hunt, and I am the co-director of The Landing here at New Hope Church. And Rusty asked if I would take a minute out and pray with us today. Will you join me? Father God, I thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to continue our connection and our growth and our time of worship together, Lord, even if online. Lord, I thank you for Rusty's message today, as I know It is a message that's hard to look at, Lord, but so needed. I really pray that for myself and for anyone else there, Lord, that we really take this opportunity to reflect on our relationships and see where bitterness or resentment or just disappointment even has come in and put a wedge between us and someone we care about, Lord. And so I just pray for this opportunity for you to guide us, Lord, and show us where it is that we can open those walls of communication and just really repair any hurt or damage that's been done, Lord. And Lord, I also ask that you take this opportunity to put upon our heart, Lord, maybe there's somebody that we have stopped talking to after a disagreement or something that was said that just didn't sit right with us, Lord. Or maybe it's even embarrassment that has caused us to stop talking to someone, Lord. And I just pray that you bring that person to our mind, Lord, and allow us the opportunity to reach out to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our friends, and really just be an example of your love and compassion, just as though you have loved us and guided us and cared for us, no matter what it is that we have done. And Lord, I just pray for our community around us, our world around us, Lord, that we can continue to pull together instead of fall apart, Lord, and just continue in every way that we can seek out your love, your direction, your strength in our areas of weakness and worry. And I just pray for you and for my continued relationship with you, Lord, and for each person viewing today, Lord, that they take this time to ask you into their heart, into their lives, and to just really be our guidance. You are so perfect, Lord, and I just thank you each day. In your heavenly name, amen.